I have pushed the record button on my, I almost called it a telephone. I think it's more of a smartphone these days, right? I saw a book this morning as I was preparing, doing a little prayer time or sharing in a little prayer time to begin my day with. A book that said 1,001 inventions that have changed our world. And on the cover of that book was a smartphone. Cell phone. It was one of the options that the author thought was so impactful to our world that it needed to be front and center on the cover of the 1,001 inventions that have changed our world. And today, poor Luke Hill is without a cell phone. He lost his this past week. And Mom and I have made the decision that we're going to make him sweat it just a little bit longer before we bail him out. Now, that's the short story. The longer story is that he tried to bring me into this great escapade too. He gave me the phone at one point between his actual losing and not finding the phone. And it could be that yours truly may have lost it himself. If I didn't lose the phone, I at least was an accomplice in the losing of said phone. So I did some serious praying this week when the phone became lost. Have you ever done that? Said, Lord, just help get me out of this situation. Sure, I wanted to find the phone where I didn't have to buck up and buy a new one. But also, I wanted to make Mama happy and get her off Luke's back and my back. What about that, men? Any of you relate to that? If Mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So I did some earnest in powerful praying, Lord, find it for me. Lord, show me where it is. Lord, answer my prayer. And he didn't answer my prayer. I haven't found the phone. So if any of y'all check under your pews real good this morning as you start out the door. My prayer wasn't answered. So I had to do some soul searching this week, some theological pondering, and remembering once more, as I reflected on our scripture in preparation for this week's sermon, why is it that some prayers are answered and some go unanswered? I think about our Bible study that we had this week, and Lamon McLean made the comment of one of his co-workers, Larry Jackson, that often said, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers, right? Sometimes they're unanswered. And we can look back in our wisdom with our hindsight and say, on Monday morning as that quarterback, Lord, now I understand. Now I'm grateful that you didn't answer my prayers. But then, even so, there are events in life where it never seems to make sense, right? Less comical, more serious, more intimate needs in our life, in the life of our family members, in our brokenness, in our hurting, in our illnesses, and even in death, we say, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? Because Scripture makes it confusing for us. Even all the more, right? We read in Scripture, and it's recorded in several places in the Gospels by all of the writers where Jesus says something to this effect to his people, if to his friends, if not to the larger church at least. He says, ask whatever you want in my name and it will be given to you, right? You know, I wonder, as we reflect upon our text this morning, even though Mark records it a little bit later when he says those words, if James and John hadn't already heard that in some respect from Jesus, do you think?
Because did you hear what
their request was in the text this morning? I can only imagine that Jesus had said these words in some respect, in some gathering where James and John had heard it. Ask whatever you want in my name and it will be delivered. Because this morning in our scripture, they ask. Pretty bluntly, correct? Awful directly to Jesus, they say to him, Lord, we want you to do whatever we ask. Oh, but then Jesus in his wisdom has this response to say, instead of just giving that blank check they're asking for, Jesus says, what is it that you want? The wisdom to dig deeper. And to not only hear their request in its entirety, but to explain to them even more intimately, sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. Sometimes the things we think we want are the things that we're so passionately sure that we need are not the things that are consistent with God's grace and glory to be revealed most fully in our world and perhaps even in our lives. Jesus says to James and John, are you able to take up the cross? Are you able to walk in the ways that I'm going to walk? Are you able to truly embrace the call to faith and the call to serve the other? So as I reflected upon the passage of this scripture, upon James and John not getting what they wanted, and upon my prayer this week in not getting what I wanted, I had to re-examine, what does scripture tell us about prayer, about this blank check of request that Jesus seems to offer us to ask and we will receive? You know, when you look at John's translation of that passage, he talks about this passage in chapter 14 and 15 of his own writing, where John records it this way, where Jesus says in chapter 14, he says, ask for anything in my name and it will be given to you, so that the Father in heaven may be glorified. See, I can't help but believe that John, after he had experienced this exchange with his brother James, he learned a lesson about faith and prayer. And by the time it was his turn to write his translation of the gospel, he provided the deeper wisdom that he'd learned. That it's not in those self-serving prayers that Jesus is eager to answer and deliver, but it's when we seek to glorify the Father above that our prayers are fully heard and fully open to God's glory. He says, ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified, and your prayers, your wishes, what you want will be fulfilled. But still, haven't we all at other times in our life prayed with that vigor, with that passion? We ask for those things and we know they're good things. And we make a promise to God. We say, God, we'll use this gift to glorify you, to expand your kingdom, if you bless us in this way. And then even at times, those prayers go unanswered. Or perhaps they're not answered how we want or when we want. It challenges me, as one of those fervent prayers, to remember and consider that at times when the prayer seemed to go unanswered on my terms, that maybe and truly Jesus has a more fully knowledge of what's to come, of what's needed, not only in my life, but so that the Father may be glorified. Maybe. The answer is not no. Perhaps the answer of our Lord is wait. Surely the passion of Jesus is for the Father to be glorified, and in His holy knowing, our unanswered prayers may reveal a glory to our Lord above in a way that we could not conceive in our immediate need and in our hungering want. You see, that's the purpose. That's the power of our request. As John says it in chapter 15, he said, when we abide in Jesus, when we do the things that bear fruit for His kingdom, then we can ask in His name and share in the glory of revealing the Lord to the world around us. He says, abide in me. Follow my ways. We know what it means to be law-abiding citizens. It means we submit to the authorities around us. To abide in Jesus is to walk in His ways. And what are His ways? He lays those out for us today too. In this Gospel of Mark, just after James and John makes their request, Jesus says, this is what it means to abide in me. We are called to serve. See, I think that hits at the root of what James and John got mixed up in our scripture today. They were so interested in the prayer being answered, their request being met to serve not God, but to serve themselves. See, I get it so upside down oftentimes in my journey. Even my prayerful petitions at times are not so that God may be glorified, but so that maybe I get the glory. Or the recognition. Or in the appeal to find the little cell phone just sweet. I wanted to make the wife happy. I wanted there to be less tension. And less anger. I just wanted some relief, right? But we are people of faith that are called to set our petitions not on serving self, but in the words of Jesus today, to be servant of those around us. You see, that's when our prayers are centered on bringing glory to the Father above and not to our own life of faith and journey in this world. Jesus said, I, the Lord of life, came not to be served. I came down from heaven so that I could serve you. Friends, can we grasp the magnitude of those words of our Lord today? The Savior of the world came to the brokenness of this life so that He may serve us and give us as an example of what it means to give glory to the Lord and Father above. He came seeking those who were hurting, those who were yearning, so that He may empty Himself, in the words of the prophet Isaiah that we heard this morning, and give His life as a ransom for our sinfulness and our brokenness. Jesus, He kind of warns James and John this morning too, prior to before beginning that transition talking about servant leadership. He said, so often in this world, People get ahead. The tyrants, the leaders in our world. He said, so often they get ahead by taking from the other. By lording it over others, he says in our translation. He said, but that's not the way it is for you. For you who walk in my ways, you're not called to lord it over. You're called to serve the other. Now we hear these words and we wrestle with this call to Jesus this morning. And we must say as people of faith, all that sounds good in the church. But Jody, preacher, what about in the real world? Do you know what those folks will do to me in business if I try to serve? Do you know what they'll do to me in the legislature if I try to give over? They'll chew me up and they'll spit me out. Do you know what they'll do to my ball team if I want to serve the other? But Jesus said, when we seek to serve, when we make ourselves last, then, friends, we truly make ourselves first. It's in serving, in loving, that we glorify the Father. But you know what else, y'all? I'm naive enough to believe. I'm just crazy enough to believe that if we embody this call of Jesus to serve, that it will also work in our schools. It will also survive in our businesses. It will not limit our success on the ball field or in the boardroom. I think if we embody the nature of Jesus Christ, that we can even lead in government. You know, we talked last week and we celebrated our local basketball coach, Steve Willie. And Steve is such a humble man. He leads our local girls basketball team. They recognized him at halftime of a local football game because he was the state coach of the year in 2A for women's basketball in Tennessee. Gave him a big gold basketball. He had won 500 games last season and became great, a success, and they recognized him. He won. He became number one in the entire state. But you see, those of us who know Steve, we know how he won. He won not by saying more of me, but by saying less of me. You know, it's not those 500 wins in my mind that make the most and tell me the most about Steve Willie. It was at the Coats for Kids race the other day, Doc, where he showed up with all of his basketball team. Every one of them. It wasn't 500 wins that told me about the merit of him. It was running a 5K race. And after that race, him taking those girls and feeding them breakfast. And I asked him why he did it. He said, you know, Jody, if you show these kids you care about them, they'll run through a brick wall for you. And it wasn't as if Steve was saying that because that was the goal for them to run through the brick wall. His goal was to serve them. And in serving them, he's learned over time, after 500 victories, that you can't outgive God. The more we give, the more we serve, the more we live outside of ourselves for our students, Elizabeth, the more we reach outside of ourselves as bosses to our employees, Kenny, the more we serve our patients, Doc, it will come back to us. They will serve us, and God above, our Heavenly Father, will be glorified as we serve the world to His glory.
we embody the Spirit of Jesus and have the courage to serve and love the world. Amen. Let's respond in faith now.